How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you for it. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Mondays are off to a great start. We got a lot to get to here in the next 2 hours of radio. Talk a little NFL football here in a moment. I will recheck in with Major League Baseball. We talked about the Skubal trade. The Mariners made a move over the weekend.
Is it Skubal or Skubal? Because that's another Sohan
Skubal. I always go Skubal.
I thought it was Skubal.
That's probably Skubal. Well.
Yeah. Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, Skubal Tarek. Is a more enjoyable way to say it.
Why Tarek over Derek?
Yeah. Tarek is a very rare first name, I feel like. Are there a lot of Tareks out there?
I don't know if I've met another Tarek.
I don't think I've ever met a Tarek. Yeah. I know of a Tarek who pitches in Major League Baseball, but other than that, I don't got any other Tareks. So we'll get back into baseball a little bit, some other trades. The deadline is today, and so those will keep trickling in. We have some moves happen this morning, so we'll dive into that a little bit. Teams making moves and some NFL stuff as well. To your quarterback fit point, by the way, it seems like a lot of people are agreeing with you on this one. Brady Quinn got texted in way too jacked. Brady Quinn coming out, he was too jacked.
Too good looking, too jacked. You can be good looking. Quarterbacks have that gene. But you got to be, there's got to be a point where it's
Look at Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, Matt Stafford.
Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Even Burrow. I mean, Burrow's a good looking cat, but
Burrow's probably an exception to this rule.
He's fit, but he's not ripped by any stretch of the imagination. He's very handsome, but.
Oh,
he's
I was
not.
Talking about being hot.
Yeah, he's a good looking cat. Yeah, that's definitely true. Somebody texted in Anthony Richardson, 0% body fat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's one of the reasons I was excited about the idea of drafting him in the first round. Look how big he is, dude. He's huge.
All these guys are strong.
Will Levis is yoked out of his gourd.
Who, by the way, still says, there's not 32 quarterbacks better than me. I will start again.
Is he still in the NFL?
He's a backup.
Is he still there?
In Tennessee.
He's still hanging around?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Much like Wayne's World with the guitar. Starting job. She will be mine. She will be mine.
According to Will Levis. At one point, Cam Ward.
That picture threw me off. Like, you can certainly rush for 1,000 yards in college, but I dare you to be in the NFL and be great. It's not going to happen.
Let's get to some NFL noogie, shall we? Is every NFL fandom in the same world right now of wanting to avoid social media all day because you're just waiting for some tweet that says somebody went down and a card had to pick them up?
180,000%.
Like,
how is everybody not having the same takeaways here?
Just like nervously scrolling every time you check. Please don't. One of my favorite ones from the weekend was there is a rookie receiver, Cyrus Allen, in Kansas City, who they took, kind of an under-the-radar guy. What is Kansas City desperate for? They're desperate for another weapon, right? Yeah. And they got some who can't stay out of prison and some who can't stay healthy right now. They're desperate for it. And this cat was turning some heads early in camp. Everybody's raving about him. Ooh, we might have a chance. Like, this guy could be onto something. I saw a tweet that was raving about him with a highlight of practice. Look at this catch along the sideline. And the next tweet I saw from a beat writer was that he was down on the field because he was out returning punts because they're thinking he's a rookie receiver. He's going to have to play special teams. And he ended up getting carted off the field. I have not seen an update. It sounds like nothing was torn. Or an update in terms of how long he's going to be out, but nothing was torn or broken in his injury that came out a day or two ago. But those kind of stories are funny, and what made me think about it is we already got one today, and there's a million of them you could pick from. Out of Chicago, Kobe Bryant went down grabbing his left knee during a one-on-one rep versus Cole Kmet.
Who, by the way, they just picked up from Seattle.
Exactly. Yeah. Clearly emotional. He got on the cart under his own power. Now, the beat writer's like, I'll caution you that they're on the far side of the field, so the cart's not unusual, trying to, like, calm everybody down. Because you got this, the Shamar Stewart one. You saw the video of it, and it's like, oh, God, his season's over. And then there's no serious damage, and maybe he's available at some point early in the year. It just feels like every fan base is in that same unison of, like, I'm going to scroll. I'm going to keep up to date. But, God, there is nothing worse than this time of year getting training camp injury notes.
I mean, we don't get these notifications during the camp, but, like, I'd argue college is the same way.
Yeah.
the last thing you would want to hear coming out is that Corey Moore is hurt.
Right.
You're like, what?
A cart took him off the field. You just don't get the same access college in college.
Worse because it goes to message boards. And then it's like, my friend is the assistant's girlfriend's best friend.
Yes.
And he told me it's a torn ACL, guys.
I will never forget the night before the Iowa game last year and the generational freakout that transpired if you were on the internet around the time of 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
I don't remember what that one was.
That was the news trickled out that the Kenyon Sadiq wasn't going to play. That was the week DeCorian Moore got, it was their bye week. DeCorian Moore got hurt in practice.
That's right.
Both of their tackles or one of their tackle was out for the, it was like this just avalanche of like Sadiq, DeCorian Moore tackles that like, it was just this laundry list of guys who were great. We're going into this meat grinder in Iowa City without all these, they ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
But that was, I will never forget that freak out the night before. Cause to your point, it's very different in college. You don't get it in real time.
Yeah. I think the NFL one, like, my team has the substation narrative around it. Like, anytime somebody gets hurt, it's the substation next to the facility's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think a lot of people on that team do buy it. Like, it may not be real. They may not be able to prove it. I do think there's a lot of people in that organization that are starting to believe it. Because otherwise, how do you explain the bad luck? Every single year. This cannot be...
There's something going on there.
It's just odd, right? Yeah. Their rookie wide receiver sat out and it said hamstring tightness and everybody freaked out. Like, I think if you get any notification about any player on your team, you're just thinking, cool, sit out. But
don't,
like also, they need to practice.
I know.
It's a weird place to be in as a football fan of, you know how important all this is. There's a lot of new installs going on at different camps with new coaching staffs. You got rookie players at different positions on both sides of the ball. Like, you want them all to be acclimated and ready. You're also sitting there just going, God, you're just holding your breath, hoping you don't get out of camp with massive amounts of, like, awful news.
Yes. The Bills had one over the weekend. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, one of their offseason acquisitions, was carted to the locker room. It does sound like he's going to be okay. Also, a fun story about him over the weekend that he paid. There was a Bill staffer who had about $20,000 left in school loans, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson paid for the school loans. So
yeah.
If you're looking for one of those fun stories, Deion Dawkins had a quote saying he is the teammate that we've been waiting for. It seems like a bullet has been dodged there, but we'll wait to see more information on that. Can I throw at you a random one that caught me off guard? Because there's a couple of news and notes in the player movement department.
Sure.
The Jalen Polk career is going to be fascinating. Did you see the announcement that he retired?
And it was under the rate. Like, people only found out because it was on the transactional waiver wire.
Yes, like, no announcement was made whatsoever.
No.
He was a early second-round pick for New England out of that year with Washington with all those good wide receivers.
Some people thought he was going to be the best one of that group, and
he
that was a
awesome.
Pretty stacked receiving room.
He was I want to go pull up his college numbers from the last year. He's going to end his NFL career with a total of 12 catches.
How many games did he play?
He played 15 games in 2024 only.
15 games?
And one season with New England, 2024. Did not play last year and then was traded to the Saints.
Yep.
And then just, to your point, walked away. Nobody even knew. His last year at Washington, in a loaded wide receiver room, he had 69 catches for 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns. He averaged 17 yards a catch. Year before that, he had about 700 yards and 6 TDs. That was in DeBoer's first year.
Mm-hmm.
He had gotten to Washington the year before that, so he was already on the team when DeBoer took over. But I remember him being, he was always the third fiddle of that offense, but a very good third fiddle. That's why they were so explosive and talented. Just an odd one of like, man, I hadn't thought about that name in a while. I remember thinking that's a steal for New England in the second round, and he did literally nothing. You're like, uh-oh, that didn't turn out very well. And then just to walk away at the age of 24, that was a rapid decline and now seemingly an end of a career for Jalen Polk over the weekend.
Well, the weird one is really Denzel Boston is lighting Cleveland camp on fire.
Yeah, that's not a surprise to anybody.
They are basically saying that if you put a ball within his vicinity, it's coming down and he's winning the battle.
He was one of those guys in the draft. Now, look, I've said this about different players, and we're all right and wrong from time to time. I just did not get why he wasn't higher on draft boards. Washington was a little more out of sight, out of mind for people last year. They had games, especially against good opponents, where they could not throw the football to save their life.
Yeah.
Their little quarterback couldn't see over the line of scrimmage, and they look at the Ohio State game, the Oregon game, the Michigan game, like they could not functionally throw the football in those games. If you put him in a better offense in college, he's a lock to be a first-round
pick. Well, if Casey Concepcion comes on for them, because I think he's having a good camp too, you got Jerry Jeudy, Denzel Boston, and Casey Concepcion. Like, that's a pretty good little tandem you got.
That's
in Cleveland.
Not bad. They just don't have anybody throwing the ball. That's the tough part.
And that, yeah, I didn't get to it in the cafe, but you got Deshaun Watson. He's like, I'd love to stay here.
Yeah, we can play that one
and
if you want.
People are like, we don't want you. You robbed us of $230 million and you're a pariah. And he also, by the way, he's playing terrible in camp.
Is he not having a good camp?
I heard a
camp numbers are bad.
I saw a camp report that basically was like, Shadur might be the starter by default because Deshaun's playing himself out of it.
Even not even doing anything of success. Here is Deshaun Watson being the most self-unaware person on the planet over the weekend.
I think the quarterback room is definitely a great room. All four of us are, you know, learning together, hanging out together, building that chemistry together. So we just, you know, taking each other opportunities to really just basically, you know, master each and every time we get out there on the field. And, you know, we try to support each other as much as possible. And every time that I, you know, get in, I try to be the best quarterback and lead the team and try to be productive and just like the other guys. So it's been well so far.
I mean, you're almost out of it, Cleveland. The worst move in the history
They're
of sports.
So close.
You are so close to the finish line. Get through this year, and then it will. I think this is the last year, right? That they can get it. They can get out of it.
Or it's
is
either
one
this
more
year or next. I can't. If they have one more year, many people think they're going to buy them out.
Yes, as they should. Well, because there's been nothing there.
So you've got Talen Green. You've got Dylan Gabriel, Shadur Sanders.
I forgot they went and got Talen Green.
They drafted him
this year. I forgot they drafted another one.
They drafted my guy.
Yes, this is the last. They can void next year's contract. So you can void it, make him an unrestricted free agent. This is the last year in Cleveland.
What are we to think of the Rome Odunze, Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan trio that we all thought?
Yeah.
Is that the offensive line deserves more credit because Penix had the time and just dialed it up?
I think it's a testament to Penix, although none of those guys.
Rome had moments. He has to be a guy this year. They got rid of DJ Moore.
Yes, you're expecting him to step up. And
him
if he
and Luther
doesn't,
Burden.
That's good. And they thought Luther Burden was great as a rookie.
Yeah.
But Penix's career has been bad, too.
It's not been great.
He hasn't been able to stay healthy. It's also just a reminder of, like, the college game doesn't always translate to the NFL. And you never, like, this is why being a GM at times feels impossible. Because there's nothing about watching that offense that would have made me thought none of these guys would be good in the NFL. And then here we are 3 years into their careers, and you're like, are they any good? I don't know. Or
like,
two
how
years.
Close is Jalen McMillan to retiring.
Right. I mean, I haven't heard that name in forever, right? I mean, I think he's had a catch here or there. Is he still in Tampa or did he move on this offseason? Because it felt like
Tampa.
They went and got Tez Johnson and he moved up to higher on the depth chart than he was
he
immediately.
He's still in Tampa.
Okay, so he's still down
Let's
there.
Let's see what his stats were.
Yeah, what were his numbers last year? Because I'd be curious. There were moments, I feel
12
like.
12 catches.
On the season?
178 yards.
Oh, dude.
No TDs.
That's bad.
Yeah, he's been not good.
Not good. Yeah, that's it. Odunze's the big. Oh, I shouldn't. Well, yeah, Odunze's the biggest surprise of all of them. Penix, you could at least lean on the age and the injury history of, like, that would concern me at the NFL level. Rome Odunze was so good at Washington.
I'm weirdly high on him in the sense of, like, I don't know if it is Chicago. He strikes me as, if it's not Chicago and he goes to the next team, he does end up, like, popping. I think his hands are great.
Yeah. But the tough part with that, though, is now they have a good offense in Chicago now.
Oh, no, I'm
like
just
you
saying,
have
like,
a
sometimes it just doesn't work for you at spots, right? Like, where did, hold on a second.
Searching. There's definitely been guys who have gotten off to tough starts, found a new home, and turned it around. Usually the argument, though, in those moments is that they were in a place where, A, there wasn't a good quarterback, B, the play caller wasn't solid.
Think of, like, here it is, Chris Carter. Philadelphia.
Yeah. Chris Carter from Philly to Minnesota.
Chris Carter in Philly, he had 5 catches, 39 catches, 45 catches.
A lot of problems off the field, too.
I know, but that's 3 seasons.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have said, well, Chris Carter, his nickname is going to be all he does is catch touchdowns.
No, and then all he did was catch touchdowns.
And then all he did was catch touchdowns and become one of the more legendary players in Minnesota Vikings history. So I think if I was to comp Rome to anybody, it'd be more like that kind of level. Like, he could still pop in Chicago, maybe burst onto the scene this year.
Yeah, with a bigger role without another receiver around.
Yeah, and stays healthy and really becomes target one for Caleb. Although that could be, it could be Loveland. It could end up being Burden. You kind of wait and see on some of that stuff. I want to ask you, too, like, how do you react when you read about bad play from certain guys in camps? Because I think we also have the same reaction of, like, oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Or you hear about a guy who's really making huge plays.
Yeah.
Regular season starts. You've drafted him way too high in your fantasy team. And then the season starts, nothing. And you're like, I read all these great things. Why is he not doing it to other teams?
It's such a funny moment. We're so desperate for football. and we're so hungry for it.
We're living in everything.
We live and die on every report. We mentioned the Mahomes practice footage of him hitting the center and the back of the helmet, right? Like, I think Mahomes is going to be fine. That's a really funny moment. It's actually interesting you bring that up because I think it was Aaron Rodgers that said this a week or two in an interview. And he said one of the things that he sees in young quarterbacks that he hates is that there's they're risk averse in practice. And that his argument is in practice and in training camp, the primary thing that he's trying to get out of it is figuring out what he can and cannot do.
Yeah.
Like, what are his limits? Yeah. Like, okay, that's a tight window. Can I make that throw? Oh, nope, can't make that throw. And so at times you see the reports of quarterbacks who are throwing picks or having a rough go, and your mind will go to what? Damn, you're throwing picks in training camp? Come on, man.
Right.
And then on the other hand, I have an Aaron Rodgers saying, like, that was my whole point of training camp. Everything I did was try and force balls into tight windows and make tough throws and back foot throws and cross arm throws and, like, see where your strengths are, see where your weaknesses are, instead of having this cookie cutter risk averse check the ball down in training camp to not throw a pick for your practice report in your film that you don't really learn and you're not pushing yourself to the limit when you do that.
And he's not wrong, but he's also Aaron Bleepin' Rodgers.
He's one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks we've ever
had. So, like, he's the 6'4 prototype, you know, arm throwing, great touch quarterback of our entire lives. Right. So it's easy for him. You think Caleb Williams is going to come into camp and go, I don't really care. I'm going to try everything. And then he throws four picks in a practice.
And people freaked out. I remember his training camp picks as a rookie. Everybody was losing their mind.
You think Ben Johnson's going to go into the film session and feel great and be like, oh, yeah, I feel amazing about where we're currently sitting.
Right.
I think he's right, but also some of that is the coach and organization's problems, is how much they react or overreact to the loud and the narrative-based things. If Caleb Williams had just a horrendous camp day, four picks, one for nine in the red zone, if Bo Nix, who just had a great year, had a day where he's picked off five times, 0-7 in the red, like, these things get leaked now. Like,
they
get quarterback stats
in training camp
in 7-on-7.
Nobody's been better than the Cleveland reporters. They will tweet out like a daily, here's Dylan Gabriel went 6-of-17 today. Shador Sanders went 9-of-19.
Like, we're doing the stat keeping in camp. Aaron Rodgers, there's too many quarterbacks that they can't afford to have.
Are we making the
risk it all day?
Yeah. Are we coming around to the idea that maybe we shouldn't have media members in training camp?
No, I'm okay with them doing it. I don't,
because what you're saying is absolutely correct.
Do you look at the stat? If somebody puts out stats of quarterback performance, do you go, oh?
No, I don't.
I don't.
I mean, I will. You don't avoid it. You don't unsee it. But when I never react to it one direction or the other.
But if Bo Nix has a bad day in Denver, guess what? Denver's defense is effing awesome.
I've seen him go to the playoffs twice and be a pretty good quarterback for 2 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
One bad day in camp does not mean that his career is colliding into the
Brock
side of
a mountain. Brock Purdy's been to a Super Bowl in multiple NFC title games. He's going to get picked off once in a while by a Fred Warner.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up because I was watching some mic'd up stuff with Mike McDaniel and Jim Harbaugh. The combo of it is hilarious to me. And they put out some like an 8-minute Mike McDaniel mic'd up thing, and I was watching that on YouTube this weekend. And it was funny that he went up to the defense before one of the practices, and one of the things he asked them to do was pick a lot of balls off as the offense coordinator. He was like, pick them off. Let's go.
As he should.
Give up some big plays and get some picks. That would be great out of you guys today to, like, build some confidence.
Didn't the Jets have an entire season last year with zero interceptions?
Zero. As a team. Zero.
Like, that's...
It's one of the most absurd stats that we've ever seen. A couple of the more NFL odds and ends, including an injury concern for one player, an update on another one, a reunion of sorts, and then we'll dive into some college football stuff. That is next, 105.1 FM The Fan.
Hey, Sprague here, hanging around for our great friends at Trajan Wealth. When I sat down with Trajan Wealth, I didn't get a sales pitch. I got a conversation. That's TRAJANwealth.com. They didn't try to sell me anything. They listened. They asked questions. They got to know what actually matters to me, my family, and our lives. Then they showed me how my current plan stacked up and where it could be stronger. That's the value of a second opinion. At Trajan Wealth, their fiduciary advisors build strategies around real people, not spreadsheets. Your goals, your timeline, your comfort level, they're independent. Not tied to products, and they coordinate everything. Investments, taxes, estate planning. Walked out feeling in control. Call Trajan Wealth at 1-855-TRAJAN-1. That's 1-855-TRAJAN-1 or visit TRAJANwealth.com. It's never too early to plan for retirement, whether it's years away or are right around the corner. The fiduciary advisors at Trades and Wealth can help you feel ready for what's next. Start the conversation today at TRAJANwealth.com. Advisory services through Trajan Wealth LLC, SEC Register Invest.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Investment advisor, additional services through Trajan Estate and Trajan Tax. Actual client, paid advertisement, additional disclosures at TrajanWealth.com.
All right, welcome back in. 8:27. Happy Monday morning, everybody. Hope your air conditioners are working good. Don't go outside the next couple days. It's going to blow.
We may have to pull the unfortunate
Get the f*** out of here.
National anthem sung at the...
Oh, I already did. Don't you worry.
You did send it to him?
I already did. Right. It's in the system. We'll get to that.
I feel horrible.
Do we have a new number one on the big board? We will ask that question in
a
moment.
A legendary musician. It's just like
we call balls and strikes here. That's what we do.
You're right.
I'm an umpire.
You're right.
Is it a good anthem or a bad anthem? We might have number one on the big board.
I know.
Also, I love doing those. And you watch. You're like, what is this sporting event? Can you name this league? Did you know that this was a league?
I knew it was happening. Okay. I didn't watch it.
We'll get to that in a moment. I also have some Dan Lanning audio. How high on cocaine was he after the Penn State win? Find out in a moment.
Wow.
This, though, out of the NFL, if you were a Rams fan, let's take the gauge here, okay? I want zero being you're comatose and asleep, 10 being you're making the White Walker sound that you made at 6:07 this morning.
Mm.
Where is your level of panic over Myles Garrett not practicing for 3 days in a row?
Not a real question.
It's a real question.
Don't care.
Nope. Doesn't do anything.
How about you don't practice at all the whole
camp? No practice. We don't want any practice as a Rams fan. No Myles Garrett.
Don't even put the pads on.
Don't need to do it.
The first snap of the season.
Don't need to do it.
You could come out zero pads on in the national anthem of week one, and when you put those on and then you run out in the field, still not panicked.
It's funny with
He's the depoy. He's one of the greatest edge rushers of our lives.
It's funny with injury news, too, because there's always a balance. And on one side, I see news like this. He's missed three straight days with soreness in his lower half.
Sure.
Is this legitimate soreness in his lower half? Is this? Dude,
I'm not doing this. Don't do this game.
You're Myles Garrett.
Don't
we
pull
don't
Brandon
need.
Sprague.
We don't need you to practice.
Can old Brandon Sprague come back?
Yes, bring back.
Can
old
he come
Brandon
to the future and tell you now?
Yes.
Don't do what I did, Dirt. I for a whole summer asked out loud. Matt Stafford, he's getting epidurals. His back is bad. You can't trust it.
We're going.
And
fake
then he
news.
Played the full season. It he was did, five yeah. yards away from getting to a Super Bowl and probably winning.
Okay. Thank
a
you,
second
old Sprague.
Title.
Thank you, old Sprague.
Don't
I'm just asking,
do it.
I'm just
Don't
asking the
it.
Questions aloud. By the way, and also an update from Sean McVay. When does the countdown clock begin for Aaron Donald signing his contract? Because it's definitely going to happen.
Whoa.
He's just waiting
How
another
many games
2 weeks.
Is he going to play this year?
Doesn't matter. As long as he plays in the playoffs, it's all.
Because you know he's going to load manage.
He's going to load manage. If he's not there at camp, because it sounds like he's running this out. He doesn't want to be at camp a little bit. Like he's working his body back into shape. He's working at the facility.
Yeah.
McVay keeps dropping these like wink, wink, nod, nod. Like he's going to sign.
He says it's the arrow is
pointing in the right
pointing
direction.
Pointing in the right direction.
Like,
yeah,
dude, he's
pointing up.
He's going to sign.
Yeah.
I would bet he misses the first game or two. An injury at some point. They're like, let's be cautious here. I'll say he plays in 12 games in the regular season.
12 games?
In the regular season.
Yeah.
Not counting playoff games.
Many regular season games do they need to add when we start getting load management in the NFL?
When we get to our 38-game schedule?
I think
schedule?
When you get to 20, I think teams legitimately will be load managing.
As
and
they
then
should.
Have a conversation about why your favorite receiver, quarterback, and running back didn't play.
Yeah, as they should. I mean, that's the way it should work because you want guys healthy for when it matters most. So there's the last couple updates out of the NFL. Ooh, by the way, one more here.
Yeah.
Quickly, we did have a signing over the weekend.
Sure.
Clowney went back to Houston. Not that he's much at this point in his career, but...
Yeah, it was somebody that a few teams wanted, and he's going to go back where he was taken.
Yeah. So there's an update out of the National Football League for you. That's... I think we hit on everything going on over the last 2 days.
A good one to remember is a name that you tend to forget because the team has been kind of irrelevant now for a couple of years, but they might be on the up and up. I mentioned they might have the second best quarterback in their division on Friday. Chase Young, statistically, the ball knowers of the NFL are starting to point out, like, he had a really good year last year.
Really?
Like, Clowney kind of gets, I think, fit into this.
Never quite lived up to the hype, but he was good.
He was a really good player.
It's the tough part where the hype was so big that saying he didn't, it sounds like he's a bust, but he was not a bust.
He wasn't
a very
bust.
Good player. He just wasn't.
He wasn't JJ Watt. He wasn't Reggie White. Like, we thought he would be because he made a helmet pop off and a hit so hard.
Yeah, it's one of the best highlights in the history of college football.
You could put it in there as the best. I'd be fine with that. But because of that hit, I think it changed the thought process of what he was as a prospect. Chase Young's kind of this. Chase Young, a little bit of a slow start in his career.
Yeah.
Thought he'd be just a monster out the gate. And if you look at some of the advanced analytics, like, actually was one of the more productive players in the league. In terms of defensive pass rush, he just doesn't get a lot of the accolades and recognition because the Saints have not been very good.
That's a part of it, too. Yeah, 10 sacks last year. You're just, when you're in New Orleans, and maybe this year will be different for them, and they make a little bit of noise in the division, you're like, that's how the NFL works. These teams ebb and flow year in and year out. If they're back in the mix, we'll probably get more conversation about them. But I'm with you. They're kind of out of sight, out of mind. Let's get to some fun with audio, shall we? Dan Lanning at Big Ten Media Days. He's going to talk again down in Eugene because Oregon's got their media day today. He sat down for an interview with Pardon My Take, which is the number one sports podcast in the country, don't you know? And it's via Barstool Sports. They're based in Chicago, so they popped over to Big Ten Media Day to interview him. I always enjoy listening to these kind of interviews with Lanning because when you hear the local stuff, like, you're just getting...
I mean, you get some fine stuff.
You get fine stuff.
But this is relaxed, have fun, like, really. Because I think he has... decent amounts of fun with Isaac and Suk.
Yes, he does.
But these are...
When you see him on McAfee and you see him in settings like this, there's just a different level to it. Another one I will point to for this.
I think these are things of content he...
Probably consumes.
Is really consuming.
Or it's on his algorithm whenever he does scroll, if he ever does scroll. Another great example of this is honestly, for those who... Now, I know he's very controversial. Mm-hmm. Maybe save this for if we get a deal done and the team isn't moving. This Spittin' Chicklets is the Barstool Hockey podcast. They did like an hour and a half interview with Tom Dundon.
Yeah, we never broke audio down of that, but
I listened to it and it was because I had never heard him in that like kind of guard down. He had a glass of wine. Cuss words were flying all over the place, and it was just him talking to hockey guys about his business and winning the cup and all that. It was just a setting you don't usually see him in, a buttoned up press conference where he's giving you, you know, PR related answers, and you're not getting a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why I always look forward to these. I haven't listened to the episode just dropped this morning, so I'll probably listen to it at some point today. But snippets of it are coming out, and one of the biggest questions out of Oregon last year was after the Penn State win, we all thought Lanning might have been on something. a little bit of a rush there. And here is Dan Lanning. They ask him, what was that like and what were you on?
What were you on after the Penn State game?
Great question. So I like Zen.
Yeah.
I really don't talk about it, though. So here we are. You broke me down. I'm vulnerable.
Okay.
But no, I stick them in my pocket, and I ran out. And so our guy got me some more, and I have more. But honestly, it's just juice, man. You've been a part.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was great.
It's just juice. But it's, you know, it's funny when your son has to be like, Dad, everybody at school says. Like,
you're on drugs? Yeah. So, no,
I just had juice, man. It was fun to be a part of. That environment was wild.
Yeah, like we joked about it, but like at the end of the day, I would much rather have that than like a coach have a massive, massive win and then come off and be like, yeah, we didn't play well. Like, we're just trying to get to next week.
Have you taken a Zen?
I've never taken a Zen before. Actually, no, that's not true. I have taken a Zen.
I've never taken any kind of tobacco that way.
Mm.
What?
You mean like in the mouth or the form of Zen? I think that's kind of the only way that.
Well, cigarettes or whatever.
You never smoked a cigarette?
One rip.
Really?
My mom smoked, so I hated it. Made my clothes stink.
I had the same thing. I never was.
Fundamentally hate cigarettes and always have and always will. But
for cigarettes.
I never did a dip.
Zen is the trendy new product on the market. Zen is popular.
I also love, like, no offense. I like that he's talking about this. He's saying, hey, yeah, my kid heard about those rumors.
I mean, it was all over it was all over the internet after that.
Well, I mean, it was pretty.
he was sniffling. He was fired up,
licking his teeth. There's some stuff going on. He's not wrong to point out the juices of winning at that stadium in that moment, despite Penn State cratering after that.
But also remember the moment, too, of like you blew the lead, you come back, you win the game, double overtime.
It just ends in double overtime.
Pick to seal it. You go crazy.
I totally get that, and I believe him. Can we stop pretending he did the line in there. Well, I don't really like to talk about it. Buddy, I feel like all I hear about is your speeches or your Zen popping.
Yeah, I mean, he literally walks out with a cannon. When you see Oregon take the field, you can see the cannon in his front pocket.
That's what I'm saying. Is like when he runs out of the field. He acts like nobody has talked about it before. It's like,
it's like a taboo
what he's kind of known for is he pops Zens.
Yeah, Zen has exploded onto the market. Think of like for weed smokers, the like...
I know.
Vape pens. Like it is dominating the chewing space right now. Everybody that chews is chewing
Zins. And you haven't tried it.
I have done a Zin before. Now that I think about it, like on a golf, my buddies all have Zins. They're all big Zin guys.
Swear by it.
They swear by it. They love them. There's like European Zins that you can find that have like double the potency, but they don't sell them in the United States.
Yeah.
So if you know somebody going overseas, everybody tries to grab a bunch of those cans because they're like exotic. It's a whole thing, man. And he's saying, no, I'm not on cocaine, but I do love the idea of his middle school kid going to school and the other Duck fans being like, dude, what the hell was your dad on
it
for that
weed,
man?
What do you even say to your friends in school if they're like asking if your dad is on coke?
It's a very uncomfortable thing, I'd imagine.
Like you're like, no, he's not.
No, he's not, but he looked like he was pretty high
but
in that
you're
moment.
Like, you're thinking about it, and you're like, he looks so true.
Bro, got him, boys!
I gotta ask him.
You talk with your helmet, Brandon Sprague. Do you talk with your helmet? You helmet talker? That's what Dan Lanning was doing. So he's on Pardon My Take. Oregon is having their media day today. We asked the question aloud, and I don't know if an Oregon State fan knows this. Is Oregon State having a media day?
I get emails from them still. Swag doesn't. I've gotten zero emails about any Oregon State media day so far. I got Oregon State news if you want it.
Oh, we actually have Oregon State news?
We do.
Can I ask a quick question, though, before we get to the Oregon State news? Just a quick
no,
brief
not
question?
Allowed.
Not allowed to?
Not allowed
it's to. That big of news. We got to get to it now.
No, I mean,
we can't hold it for 30 seconds. Beaver fans defended not having Pac-10 media day or 12 media day, which, fine, whatever. I it's great for our content, so I love media days, and it gives us something to talk about.
Sure. Give us 3 days last week. Give us 3 days a week.
Exactly.
That.
Great audio. Kurt Cignetti, Matt Rule. Like, we played audio up and down the conference. It was great. SEC media days, coaches talking to us. I love it. Is there any argument for not having a team media day, like a school media day? Because it's literally in your, like, Oregon's is inside Autzen Stadium. Mm-hmm. The only thing you pay for is catering. They usually cater it for the media members that come down.
And that's, usually those are already set.
It's a set relationship, and you get like a local Hawaiian place that
Jersey
brings over
Mike's
pulled pork,
yeah.
And you're like, yeah, Jersey Mike sandwiches. Is there? There's no argument for not having a team media day, right?
I mean,
you have to, and I'm not even saying they're not. I'm just saying they should be.
I met one of our great P1s about a day or two after our Pac-12 media day conversation. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, big Oregon State fan, and I randomly said, "Don't like it, huh?" Because he had chimed in that he didn't really. He was kind of defending the Oregon State position and the Pac-12 position of it. And he just was like, yeah, I just don't really, you know, don't really care. And I was like, I totally get that opinion. If you're not consuming all the audio or you're not using it, I get it. Like, you probably see the headlines of some of the quotes that came out of these media days.
Yeah.
The local one of not having that, my only defense of it, because I disagree with not doing it, would be, who do you want to hear from?
That's the whole point of, like, can I learn who's on your team? Can I see some
interviews?
Yeah, but,
like, if I give you an offensive lineman you've never heard of and he has nothing to say. If I give you the defensive back and he's like, I like to read and go hiking. Like,
do you have anybody interesting on the roster that can create a headline that we could talk about?
I don't know. Anything? Maybe the head coach.
Like, this is part of the...
Their coordinators aren't talkative.
No, I get that. This is the head coach is definitely a great quote. He'll be entertaining. This is part of the double-edged sword, though, of, like, you get from Beaver fans, talk more about the Beavers, which I would say they need to win in order to get more coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of it, like, you know what provides an easy avenue to get talked about?
Media day.
Media day.
Yes.
Because whether it's a boring player or your head coach, Shepard stands up there and gives a quote. We're going to play it and talk about it. That's the way that this cycle
works. I mean,
they
might be doing it.
It's a circle of life.
I haven't gotten a notification. Camp is supposed to start like right now.
It's going on. Like, they open camp this week.
Yeah.
It's happening in like 2 days.
I think Oregon State's camp is opening this week. I have not gotten a single email. I'll go check and just see if I got one that I missed.
Just asking aloud. I was curious there. If you're not doing a media day, Oregon State, please do a media day. Okay, what happened to Oregon State?
Not a set date.
Oh.
Not a consistent.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Stint one.
Oh.
But I was told we will get Jamarcus Shepherd once a month.
Once a month?
He's not doing weeklies.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Beggars can't be choosers.
A Thursday.
There's a way to talk about Oregon State football.
I said, is there a consistent Thursday I should be putting on my schedule? And he said, no.
Oh.
Just going to float.
Just float it.
Could be the first Thursday, last Thursday.
Okay. Depending on where they're at in the schedule, what's happening.
That's just how it goes.
Look at us. Progress, yeah. Huh? That's going to give us some good Beaver content. I take back my comments about your media
Well,
day.
What's
going to
be tough is when they're 3-8 going into that final game of the season, and you're like,
well, that's the bonus
God
of
bless
a,
the Beaver.
That's a that's the bonus of the once a month hit.
Yeah.
The weekly.
But what if your all your game stuff when you get to ask him at the end of the month is loss, loss, loss?
Blowout. Where's the
Coach, how you feeling right now?
Are we going in the right direction here? Huh?
Do you do drugs? Would you like some?
Will they do a media day? I don't know. But that is nice news. Jamarcus Shepherd, very entertaining, and I'd love to have him on the show. That would be great to have him on once a month during the football season. There you go. There's a wrap on your college football stuff. Dan Lanning said, indeed, not on cocaine after the Penn State win. He's just a big Zen guy, and he was very excited. High on life after that win. Let's get to a double whammy segment. One, have we found a new worst of all time? And two, what should be the punishment for this? I'll ask those questions. We'll get to that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Get some baseball stuff in the final hour of the show. Some trades went down.
Baseball stuff!
Going down, although what is the point? You know, we're all going to die. The Dodgers are going to win another World Series. So, you know, what's the point here?
Red 85, fat hot.
And it's almost football season. But we will talk about the trade deadline. We'll get to that in a moment. Swag just over there like,
I'll see you at the parade.
I didn't watch a second of it. I'll see you at the parade.
Do you want to start with what should the punishment be, or is this the worst we've ever seen?
Let's start with, is this the worst we've ever seen?
So these pop up from time to time. Okay. We always try and pull them whenever they do because it's always fun. The most recent example, now maybe you guys can tell me one that I don't remember, is Fergie at the All-Star game.
Oh.
The Fergie National Anthem.
Roseanne
at the
Barr.
Sure, I'm talking recent.
Carl Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, there's some all-timers, right? That's kind of your big board of the worst national anthems of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
The unfortunate side of this of, like, Roseanne Barr, whatever, she's not gifted musically, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Carl, I still don't understand. Why was Carl Lewis singing the national anthem? Was there a backstory behind that?
I don't know. Like, one of the greatest Olympians of our lifetime?
Has Michael Phelps ever sung a national anthem at a sporting event?
Has he asked?
Again, my point, why are we having...
I think Carl Lewis asked, and they said, you're Carl Lewis, sure.
Was it a Houston Rockets
My follow-up would be, can you sing? Give me three notes.
How many bad anthems have you attended to in your life? That you would say, not very good. Because I've had, like, maybe two or three.
Not that many.
Yeah.
In my life.
Not a lot of bad ones.
And a lot like Oregon football games, they just play the band plays it on the field.
The band plays it.
So you can't, there's no singing of it. Yeah, there's not a lot of bad ones that I can think of. That's why they stick out like a sore thumb.
I've had a couple Blazer ones where I'm like,
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Who do you know?
Yeah, do you know somebody?
Go to karaoke night when I'm kind of drunk. Not the best when I'm here covering.
The tough part with this one is that the singer in question is like a Motown legend.
Yeah.
But
what happens to singers after they've had a whole career of singing?
She's 85 years old.
What are your takes going to sound like at 85?
Not good. I won't be giving takes at 85.
Coming up next, why LeBron is the GOAT.
Can I just ask you something right now? If you hear wind of me, Swigard's 138, I'm 85, you're nearly 90, and you hear me take me out back and put me out of my misery. If I'm giving sports takes at the age of 85 and I haven't hung them up.
How old is Mad Dog?
Mad Dog is like
60-something.
Dude,
Mad Dog's in his 60s.
Okay.
I mean, he clearly won the divorce, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt,
he did. Francesa had him for a minute there.
Mad Dog is 66 years old.
That's awesome.
I think he's given quote. People have asked him about retiring, and he's given the like, what the hell am I going to do? You know.
I mean, even when he doesn't do ESPN or Sirius XM stuff, he should do daily somethings. He's a guy that has to like,
oh, yeah.
What's the deal with the lawnmowers?
For his own sanity, he's got to be able to get the rants out of the way. Yeah. I'll just be on a golf course, all right?
As long as I can still see. What's the age you want me to stop you at? Assuming
that if I'm still
retirement's
giving sports tech,
not going to be an option for.
Well, in our generation, nobody will ever retire. Social Security is going to go insolvent. 70. Yes. 70.
Past the age of 70?
If I'm still giving sports takes at the age of 70 and I'm not like puddling around as like a golf course starter at that point as my side job, put me out of my misery. I don't want to have takes at 70 anymore. I'm tired, boss. I'm tired. It's a lot of takes, man. Well, 86 is the age of Martha Reeves, and she showed up. I believe this is a women's professional baseball league.
This is the first.
Ever.
So this is a new league.
Yes.
And this was the first game.
Have you seen a league of their own?
I have seen a league of their own.
It's basically, they've brought
it's
back.
Women's baseball.
Yeah, it's women's
Monet
baseball.
Davis was playing for one of the teams.
Monet Davis. Yeah. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Nice throwback name.
So we have a professional softball league and a professional
this
women's baseball.
This is women's
league.
Professional baseball. Now, they brought it back.
Before you get excited,
yeah,
there's like six teams
okay,
with six cities, but they only play in one city.
But they're only playing in one city this year.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. So
they're,
it's
let's get off the ground
to grow,
here.
They're trying to build
it's
awareness.
Chicago. And, by name.
Do softball players beef with professional women's baseball players? Like, no, we play the real sport.
No, I think it goes the other
way. I don't think so.
Baseball players beef with softball players?
I think lady baseball players beef with softball players.
Interesting.
I think they say, oh, you need the big one, huh? You need the highlighter yellow?
We hit a white ball over here.
We hit the hardest one to hit.
Well, here's Martha Reeves. They hired a Motown legend to sing the national anthem, and we might have a new number one on the big board.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, came through the night.
It's almost over.
That our flag was still there. Still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
I mean, that's got to be number one, right?
She's 86. She's trying.
I'm calling balls and strikes here. Is that the worst national?
It's not good.
Is that the worst one you've ever heard?
No, no.
Is it what's worse
Roseanne
than that?
Look, I'll say this. That's not good. That's like objectively awful. Terrible. It's one of the worst additions I've ever heard by a singer.
Where she clearly forgets the words, waits for the backup singers to sing the word, and then sings the word.
I mean, look, she's 86.
The backup singers actually
weren't
that
bad. Are you
going
to remember the words at 86? I don't know if I know the words by 86. I feel like sometimes I'd freeze in the moment now singing it. I'm 39.
That's why I'm not giving sports takes anymore.
The thing I would say is, she at least, at her age, she had the courage to try. Okay? She used to be a really good singer. Roseanne Barr, she did it as like a joke. She like made a mockery out of it. That woman's trying. She didn't do very well. That is how I sing in the shower, by the way.
That's how you sing in the shower?
Oh, I'm always doing the hand over the ear. You're like trying to like go multiple levels on and like up and on and down. Like that's how I'm singing in the shower.
You try to hit your dick.
Yeah, dude. That's how I sing in the shower.
Everybody sounds good in the shower, don't they?
Oh, I sound
the acoustics.
Like, I sound just like Usher. It's crazy.
Right there for you. I didn't get to my other bit of what should the punishment be news.
We need to get to
We'll save that for the start of the final hour, which is right around the corner. We'll dive back into a couple of football noogies. I also have some baseball stuff. This is today's trade deadline. The Mariners made a move. Different teams are bolstering the rotations and lineups. So we'll give you an update on what's going on MLB trade deadline day. It is a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.